A note for our listeners in advance of listening. In this episode of this podcast, we make a reference to a line delivered by Matthew Perry's Chandler character in the TV show Friends. This podcast episode was recorded in advance before the tragic news of Matthew Perry's passing, and the reference was made completely innocently inspired by the iconic show. It was made unconnected to the actor and unaware of the future outcome. On behalf of everyone at Pushy Pushy, we are deeply saddened by his loss, and we send our condolences to his family, friends, and fans. Thank you for your sensitivity and understanding on this matter, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Pushy Pushy.
Happy Halloween.
Hello, welcome to Pushy Pushy Podcast.
Hello, welcome.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, should I say, wahaha, welcome to Pushy Pushy. It's another episode. It's Tuesday.
It's Halloween. It's a spooky episode.
Yes, and to put it frankly, it is a really scary one because it's just us.
Yes, it's
the spooky...
double trouble, toil and trouble.
Double bubble.
Thank you.
It's the spooky, spooky siblings. It's the vermin.
The vermin are back, the yellow rash.
It's near...
And Mark German, we are here with a Pushy Pushy Podcast on Halloween!
On Woo-hoo! Halloween, and it's just us. We have booted out Andrew. We have...
locked Hannah in the chokey.
And it's just us. It's just us in the biz, in the pod, in the seat, on the mic, however you want to call it. So hello. Welcome to any new listeners who may be, diving into Pushy Pushy for the first time. If you've listened to a couple of episodes, welcome back. Thank you for listening. Thank
and
you for following.
And if you haven't, we're here to talk about the industry, to talk about what we do, which is we run Mark German, which is an acting academy and agency. We work with lots of amazingly talented children and young actors.
And some horrific ones. No, I'm joking.
Well...
I'm joking.
But yeah, it's just the two of us today. It's double bubble, toil and trouble. We're just going to talk about Halloween and maybe some horror stories.
Yeah.
Or get our fangs into why we're being pushy pushy.
Yeah, I mean... We love our work is seasonal, mm-hmm. Particularly as actors and performers. Mark and I used to produce Panto. Oh, yes, we did. So we're quite used to working in that kind of seasonal.
We've actually produced quite a lot of Halloween events.
Yes.
Ghostbusters.
Good old Spooks in the City many full moons ago.
And also, things like Ghostbusters events. Scooby-Doo-Doo.
Yes.
And there's been lots of mystery machines, lots of immersive stuff.
Production.
Lots of flash mobs.
Yes, educational, mm-hmm. Science labs, experiments, wizardry, wonderful... mayhem and magic.
You mentioned wizardry because obviously the big hype at the moment is Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, which a couple of episodes we revealed that Andrew, our agent...
Almost was.
We say very, very
there was
loosely.
There was a story where his parents had a phone call from Warner Brothers or the casting team going, where's his accent from? And his dad or mum... he can't remember, said he's from Wales, and whoop, that was it.
He's out of the mix. No Daniel Radcliffe life for Andrew. But, he works for Mark German now.
But so. Harry Potter has reared its head on this Halloween.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's talks of castings for that, which we're really excited about. We actually had a phone call last week from a casting director who implied that it might have been Harry Potter. She let a couple of words slip on the phone to me. So we will wait and see.
That comes to fruition.
Comes to fruition, yeah.
Lovely, lovely. What is everybody doing this Halloween? Maybe you've already celebrated it during the weekend.
It's got bigger and bigger Halloween, hasn't it?
It's massive.
It's like the Americanisms, come over to the UK and it's just
and
got bigger and
in,
bigger.
I'm talking solely about screen acting, but in television series, Netflix... Mm-hmm. There is a lot of kooky,
dark,
sinister stuff out there.
Yeah, there is.
With young actors in.
Yeah.
And it seems to be getting younger and younger and younger. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke, Mark and Andrew had the lovely night at the NTAs where one of our talent, Benji, was nominated for a Rising Star because and his programme, The Devil's Hour, it's having a season two. It's dark.
Yeah, it's dark. And he plays quite a complex character. Mm. That's the way I would describe him. But children and Halloween and children and horror, there's like a long history. If you think back to like Poltergeist, and you had Carrie, the little blonde, beautiful looking girl with the fringe who's going into the TV. And, you know, there's something quite eerie. And often we'll get asked for, like, I'm looking for a child with an ethereal, otherworldly, dark, mysterious. There's something going on behind the eyes. We're often weekly asked for that.
And also, as a parent, it would be good to maybe hear, how would you feel? Okay, I've got a script, and in season two, the character gets murdered quite brutally.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. As a parent, I don't know if I could let my little girl, like...
Do that.
Like... Mm. Oof,
Do you know what, though? Do you know what I mean,
yes, it's pretend.
But not just that. When that happens, there's always a director's intention that an agent would ask for. What is the intention? How are you going to shoot this? How are you going to go about it to make it safe? And that's why the child license comes into play.
Yeah.
And also, a reputable agency will always ask those questions like, well, hang on a minute, there's blood and gore and there's this and that, and how would you shoot it? A really good example, we were asked by a fantastic Northern casting director recently. It was a Netflix drama, and this is horrible, but there were some there were children that were stoning an animal. They threw stones at it. Like, and the cast director was like, how do I film that, or what are the intentions? So I said, you'd get the children, and we were telling the director and the cast director how we would do it. Like, if I was a drama teacher, I would take the shot of children throwing stones at a target, cut away, and then you cut away to bring in the
fake animal
or the prosthetic animal, whatever, in, you know. But none of the two things would happen, you know, in synergy together. Do you know what else is interesting? Is a lot of these children are in these gruesome Halloweenish, horrible, you know, gruesome dramas, which are for adult eyes only, and they can't watch them.
Yeah, they can't watch themselves. It's that conversation of, and I'm jumping ahead now, say they got booked on the job, mm-hmm. As the agent, would the coach, would the parent inform the child, I guess it would depend on age and understanding, the actual, like, what is going on in the series, or would it just be like, it's a day on set, we're going to put some tomato ketchup on you?
I personally think it'd be honesty is the best policy.
Right.
Yeah. And also, I just think the children are bright, they're engaging, they're not, you know, my attitude when I approach teaching a child or a young actor, or anyone, is going down to their level. This is what's happening, it's not real, and telling the truth rather than, you know, pretending, and it's not real. Obviously, and also maybe getting them used to a set and used to the director and seeing it from behind the scenes. So if they were on something, you know, that was quite adult or quite gruesome, whatever, I think the child seeing how things work
and that it's pretend.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, I spoke to a director actually recently, and that's one of the reasons I think that they should understand how it works. Okay, that's a camera, that's a light, that's a boom pole, and just getting them used to it. But what I was going to say, back to children being in things, there's we've got a lovely girl called Layla Barwick, who's filmed a drama, or a film, a film, and it's 15. So her mum was like, will she go to the premiere? Well, no, because she's only... 10, 11. So no, she won't be able to see her work. I mean, you know, so that's quite interesting as well, when children are in things that they can't actually see until if it's a 15, or if it's certified as 18 or whatever, which obviously lots of things are.
And the writers of said material, you know, are adults. They, you know, they've got those dark...
What's the darkest thing that you've ever shot when you were a kid? You did loads.
Kind of dark things. I think it was for a bank. I remember, like, almost drowning. Like, having to do a drowning.
Oh, I remember you
having
a drowning scene. Yes,
drowning.
At sea.
At sea, which is quite...
I had to be scooped up. I mean, the character did survive.
Did survive. Did live to tell the tale.
But you did have to be in water and submerged in water. And you did it in a tank.
Yes, and I don't...
How old were you?
Eight? Yeah, 8, 9. And I wasn't, I can swim, but I wouldn't say like I did my 100 metres age 6. I wasn't like a fish in water.
No.
You know, it was kind of, oh gosh, you know.
But also it was just one element of that
film. Yes, yeah.
It wasn't like...
But a drowning is, yes, yeah, scary. Fun as well.
Like, I've got one as well.
Like, that was super fun. You know, it's yeah. fun because it's like being in a Scotland. Swimming. It's being, in, yeah, it's like being in a swimming pool like for 2 days, 3 days.
Do you know the other thing that we are asked to do a lot of is Crime Watch reconstructions?
Yes.
And you know, you were saying about like speaking to parents, going, you know, you said, oh, I don't know if I'd let my daughter. I remember we've worked on Crime Watch, which is obviously, if you don't know what Crime Watch is, it's a BBC drama where they reconstruct.
Are you
crimes.
Looking for this man?
Yes, yeah, we're looking for whatever. And there's a photo fit. But basically, some of those reconstructions involve children or young actors, and to ring up, and they could be to do with, you know, death, or it could be a murder. So I think then you have to ring parents and go, you know, look, it's Crime Watch. Do you know what's interesting? A lot of parents go, it's helping the community, it's helping the police. I would love my son or daughter to be involved in that, you know. And again, it's an acting experience, and other parents will go, absolutely, I don't think they could be, you know, playing the murdering victim, because also some of the crimes are quite high profile, so they're in the news.
I'm playing real people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is another kettle of fish.
Yeah, it's a brand new. It's an interesting one. The other thing with Halloween is commercials.
Yes.
So we've shot our Halloween commercials back in July, August, ready to come out in October.
All those fancy dresses, lots of supermarkets, isn't it? With the costumes and the treats and the sweets the offers and the.
So there's well-known sweet brands. There's also the other good thing about Halloween with commercials is the brands tend to use the same commercial, which will mean the actor will get a buyout or a usage year after year after year. So I think there's everybody, goes to Aldi. There are other supermarkets out there, but Aldi, if you want to sponsor the pod, get in touch.
Love a bit of Aldi.
But that advert, I think with Amelia, was used a couple of year after year after year. So, you know, it's quids in. And some are used for multiple years with Halloween, because obviously it's seasonal. So they've got the stock commercial and they'll just put in, you know, pumpkins at 50p or whatever.
And linking to Halloween is the whole disguise or like changing appearance. Now, if you're watching this, no, this isn't a Halloween costume. This is what we look like. You know, we're not in disguise, but part of that in terms of the industry is changing your appearance, or maybe you've not done a credit for a couple of years and you've cut your hair, you've put on weight.
Andrew's not here because we've locked him in the chokey with Hannah. But basically, that happened this week.
What?
This little boy got the job. I'm naming and shaming, but
don't
I won't say their name. Well, his parents are actors.
Oh. Well-known actors.
They're actors. Oh. So, yeah, they are, well, one probably more better known than the other. Little boy got the job. Went to the wardrobe fitting, and after the wardrobe fitting, took him for a haircut.
Nice.
Yeah. So we had to then take pictures of his hair. It wasn't a drastic cut, but kept his hair.
Yeah, and it's just really important to keep appearances, especially if you're booked on something.
Yeah. I think that if you get an audition, you get a recall. There's some parents, I don't know if your parent out there, that will wear the same outfit.
Yeah, like Mark and my mum used to make me do this, as in wear the same outfit.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yes, that's
so and so. You connect you remember the child with the outfit or whatever.
Yeah.
I've got another
one.
You
live in the same pair of dungarees.
What about hair and makeup, Halloween? Lots of people getting dressed up this evening or today to go out trick or treating. What about when you did Casualty? You had an eye infection.
Oh, I know.
Do you remember you were in makeup for like 2 days?
2 days, like 2 hours. But if you know me, I've got a phobia, but I just don't like people touching my eyes.
Because her character, Daisy, who her name was?
It was Daisy.
Her character was infected by, I want to say, some silage.
It was bad. So I had to have a prosthetic eye put on, and my actual eye glued shut to, you know, put the makeup on. Now, me as Nia, like, I'm sweating now talking about it. I can't put contacts in. Like, heaven forbid if I was to have prescription contacts or, you know, have an eye test or anything like that. I don't like anything going near my eyes. Like, don't touch my eyes. It's very, like, look,
it's a fun.
Can't touch me. You're not touching, like, friends. Can't get mad. I'm anxious now if you're watching. But I was in makeup for about 2 hours. And I remember because I had to turn 16. Mm. And I didn't have a chaperone. And I was on casualty for 2 weeks.
But if you were 16 and didn't have a chaperone, you were getting paid more.
Lovely. But I can still remember, like, sweating in the makeup chair.
So what did they do? They shut your eye, glued it down, and then put a fake eye. Because I remember in the episode, your eye was, like, halfway down your face.
Lovely.
It was very Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Lovely, yes. Basically, the storyline was a teenage daughter and her brother was seriously ill because the mum didn't believe in medicine. And it was all very, very natural. So they were a family who didn't have mobile phones, who didn't use medicine. It was all natural. And the teenage girl obviously had, like, eye infection and stuff on her skin. But the younger son was really ill, severe, and it was the teenage daughter that brought them to the hospital without the mum knowing, kind of thing. Just a bit of backstory, but in terms of the hair and makeup was a long time. The other eye dyed like red, and I remember being that 16-year-old and not wanting to cause a fuss, but wanting to be like so cool, really professional, but my inner monologue, inner stuff going, this is really hard.
Interesting.
And like, just imagine like the whole day, like...
Just using one eye.
But obviously you can't open your other eye.
But it's credit.
It's
telecredit. Get on the spotlight, get your IMDb, Casualty, Daisy Whitcomb, played by Nia Gerwin.
Don't YouTube that. Imagine.
That will be Halloween. Halloween shocker.
That's a terrible, terrible performance from many, many moons ago.
Are there any other like makeup or prosthetic stories that you've got or that you've known? What about like from musical theatre?
I mean, The Phantom was quite a big Shrek. Like when you think of like that's a 3-hour make
before they go on stage.
Yeah, every day, 8 shows a week, well, 6 times a week. We'll talk about one of our last week's guests was played by lovely Hayley, who was a guest on last week's episode.
Yeah.
Was Elphaba.
She's all green.
Greening up.
The biggest witch in the West End.
Greening up every day. What does that do for your pores? What does that do for your skin? Cats. Like, you know, there's... And that's just like day to day. But I mean, film and TV, I mean, they take it to the next level. Mm. Particularly now. I know there's like CGI and there's... But prosthetics and makeup is huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also being able to transform your look.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to like parents as in, well, she could have green eyes or she could have brown eyes or she could cut her hair. I mean, what are parents' thoughts on cutting hair, shaving heads? Dyeing hair, losing weight, as in we need, this is like really close to the bone, but there has been jobs, work, you know, we need a malnourished child. Like, not that you expect a child to lose weight for a role, but it's like having that conversation or in the script.
Yeah.
Or because there are dark, horrible stories out there.
There was a musical that was turned into a
film.
Film.
And The Breakdown. I remember The Breakdown.
And The Breakdown was they wanted malnourished children, very, very thin. The word was emancipated. I don't know if you could say that now. I don't know.
It's really dark.
But you know what, though? The cast of that particular production, I won't say what it is, I'm sure people could probably guess, but the cast of that production were on quite strict diets. And we had a little girl who was in it, and she had the... I think she was caught up in what the cast were doing, and her mum were like... She opted in for the diet. I think she was like 13. She was very small anyway. I mean... It wasn't something that we were asked. She was asked to do by production, but it was something I think that it's just a very, very grey area, isn't it?
Grey, dark. Yeah, and it's that, you know, how far will you push your kids? Or, you know, in terms of being, you know, looked after. And I guess that's where, like, duty of care, child licensing, protecting, you know, young people, particularly, or protecting any actor on set, you know, whether it's drowning scene, whether it's having your eye glued up, you know, whether it's asked to cut your hair.
Subject. There was a couple of months ago, I think back in September, maybe a month back, there was that, you know, the dark side of ballet schools. Did you see that documentary?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I don't know if you... you know, you cut, you know, it's not healthy. It's not right to ask someone. But it, you know, it can be
and
a description, I guess, of a character. They want someone very thin or very.
And we talk about acting and set, but the dance world, mm-hmm. the dance festival world, the you know that mm. ilk, that costume, that training. Mm. I mean, that's a whole kettle of fish. The
but
gymnastics.
I do think that's changed, though. I mean, like, you went to a really well-known, you went to arts educational school. I think arts educational school and other schools have had to change their...
teaching.
And think and style on and thought process. You can't say to somebody now, you know. I think in the Panorama documentary, they say you need to lean out, or there was a word that they used, or... I can't remember when I watched it now. It was like, you need to look at your... They didn't say lose weight, but there was a special terminology for that.
Yeah, and I think there are colleges that still do the weigh you at the start of every term.
Wow.
I think it is on the reverse, though, in terms of to ensure that you are maintaining a healthy weight.
Yeah.
That you aren't, you know,
it doesn't happen when you're in shows, though.
No.
When you're in the West End show or if you're on the West End tour.
Although I have got a story... On my first job, I won't say what it is, we had a break. We started the tour in the summer. We had a break over Christmas and then we came back at the beginning of January, mid-January. And it wasn't aimed, not that that sounds very sexist, it actually wasn't aimed at the females in the company, but the guys were told
Don't enjoy too much over Christmas.
Well, you've overindulged and you need to, you look awful.
As it... They physically look awful.
You physically look
out of... Oh, they couldn't fit into the costume.
You physically look out of shape.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the director and production, I guess. But and I don't know whether it's the director just doing a visit and throwing his... excuse the pun. Throwing his weight around. But, yeah, I remember that. And
it's
then
a
all,
tough
all
one,
the
isn't
lads
it?
Like hitting the gym for, like...
Well, it is
January
hard.
To, like, February yeah. to get back into shape. And then, you know... drawing on their definition with their eyeshadow.
Yeah, and their abs and everything else.
Happy what? Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
This reminds me of Mark and I used to write panto together, and we would literally, our first panto that we wrote, and our last actually, was Cinderella, and we would just sit around the table.
And
do with the voices out. And
meta on the wall. They actually become the characters. Hilarious.
But we're going to, because it's Halloween, we are going to tell the tale of one of the...
Horror stories.
What is one of the worst kind of situations, horrific...
In my whole career.
In your whole very long...
Okay, there's a few horror stories, and I think every week we get like a horror story, or I always say this to my team, we also have to put out a fire. It might not be a big one, but we always need like...
Shh, that.
We need to sort that out.
Keep
there's always a problem.
Camp.
It probably happens daily, but one of my worst ones was where I was an agent in London. I hadn't set up my own company then, and I had a double booking.
Lovely.
And it was your double booking. I think you were doing a kid series called... It was a good impressions show.
And I'm not going to say it because people will...
Oh, it was a kids' TV show called King Stupid, I've just remembered. That's right, isn't it?
It was called Stupid,
Stupid,
yeah.
And it was originally called King Stupid and they changed the name to Stupid.
Good old Marcus Brigstock.
And basically, you'd got that TV series and you'd also been booked on a Orange mobile phone commercial.
Where's Orange these days?
I know, I don't know.
Pumpkins, yes.
Yeah, but you were booked on both.
Not a mobile phone.
And I remember going, and there was a casting director who was ruthless. This casting director was strong. And
she... And I'm still around today.
She is still around today. I mean, she still scares me. She's scary. And she's old school. And she was like, and I've definitely got Nia on pencil, haven't I? I was like, yeah, definitely on pencil. Looked at the dates going, oh my God, she's filming for BBC on that day. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I went to my team going, what am I going to do? And they were like, you know, it's up to you, you know, whatever. And I was like really stressing about it.
And young.
I was probably 22, 23, young, yeah. And basically my colleagues were like, you know, you're going to have to deal with it, whatever. So I got my assistant Kate, who worked for me then. Hello, Kate. Another redhead, another ginger.
Another orange.
I got Kate to call up the casting director. And the casting director knew that we were related because of the surname German. And Kate said, hello, so-and-so. You know you've got Nia on pencil for orange. Mark and Nia's grandmother's passed away. She hadn't. But we had to say that.
She has
passed away now, but she hasn't then. And I've never told my mum this story.
Hello,
and
mum.
Then, hello.
I know happy Halloween.
I know. I'm not going to have a happy Halloween. She's going to be a right little witch to me tonight. Anyway.
And I think old Gran will be haunting you.
What did we go in? Why did you do that? Anyway, long story short, we said that my gran passed away. So this cast director couldn't say anything about the past. Oh my gosh, there's a death in the family. Anyway, 2 days later, flowers from the casting director. I felt so bad. Really, really bad.
Not when you took the commission.
No, not when I took the commission. I never feel bad about taking a commission. I've earned it. But I did do the whole... But I'm sure there's loads of people up there that have done... We've had a bereavement family. She's not very well. Everyone's told, like... It's probably bigger than a white lie, isn't it?
That's quite a dark lie.
Yeah, it's Halloween. You wanted something dark and horrific. That's the dark and horrific side of me. I've never done it since. God bless my... Rest in peace, Nan.
Because he's only got two grandmothers.
And they're both gone. Rest in peace. Don't haunt me tonight.
And that is
low. Commercial.
That is low.
But you wanted something low. It's Halloween.
No, I know. And I think it's important.
What about you? What's your most horrific thing that you've... Done.
I don't know if I've done something horrific.
Oh, you know, Angel. It's like heaven and hell here.
I think it is. I'm just trying to think of horrific. I've done something similar. I have faked illness.
I know you have had another job.
Again, it was a double booking.
Is it my double booking?
I can't say this or I'll get into trouble.
Don't say that story.
But a double booking.
Yeah, I remember.
But lots of people do it, and don't condone it.
And if there's young people listening, do not say that your grandparents or somebody has died. But I'm sure people have done that. I'm sure parents must do it quite regularly. Not people have died, but like she's got the orthodontist, she's got the dentist, maybe to get them to a recall or to get them to do something. It must happen. If it does, let us know, write in.
And if it doesn't, then you need training on how to lie and how to act.
Come to class.
Really, really helpful.
I mean, I don't know if people are going to come to class now thinking that they're like that. God, he said his grandmother died. But I was literally up against it. And you've got to understand, this cast director was ruthless. Like, I remember, okay, let me tell you a bit more of the story. I had to memorise her phone number because her phone number would come up on the screen. So she called. It's so, I can't pick it up. Why? My grandmother's died. Oh, yeah, of course. So it was like full on. And it was like that for probably about 2 weeks. And I had to come back. And then I had to ring the card director and be like, thank you so much for the flowers and the sympathy card. Oh, God, the things we do.
And that will haunt you.
Well, it might haunt me tonight.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Have a great one. Come and join us next week for another fabulous...
Where we will not be talking horror.
I might not even be here. I might be in the choke. I think I deserve to be with Hannah and Andrew.
Gosh, the lie.
Nightmare.
What a nightmare. Have a lovely happy Halloween and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.